Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caraway, and today is December 9th. And this is the news program you've come to know and trust since 2003. Elizabeth Cuppet Caraway and I bring you tonight cutting-edge developments you won't want to miss. We can be heard on WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star, and on K-Star Talk Radio. Consult their websites for listening schedules. Now we get right into the heart of our program entitled COVID Vax and Great Reset Shockaroos. Elizabeth Cuppet Caraway begins with her opening monologue. This crucial article is now posted at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, to look for the breaking news section.
21st century American Babylon serves up genocide for the billions, December 7th, 2021. We have met Pogo, and he is us. Not the Chi-Coms alone, not the bat market, not even the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Unimaginably to our Christian forebears and our literal parents and grandparents, the COVID killing plan started here in the bad old USA. We should have guessed this when Fox News' Dr. Mark Siegel advocated sticking a Nazi-like yellow pin on any kid who was not vaccinated. Fox host Tucker Carlson stared in amazement as Siegel suggested this pin, almost a twin to the infamous cloth star Jews had to wear in the Holocaust. One would wonder about Dr. Mark Siegel's ancestral loyalty. A National File commenter said, "The doctor is a Jew. I wonder how his relatives felt walking around Nazi territory with their badges on." Shocking disloyalty? Really, the good doctor is only a minor symbol of the true American Babylon urge to kill its people, beginning with, quote, eugenics proponents, everyone from Planned Parenthood's Margaret Sanger to the House of Rockefeller. All the so-called elite, the globalists, got on board. One could begin with anthrax vaccines injected in the Gulf War soldiers and the picture of one with his baby on the cover of Life magazine. And we thank an astute listener for sending us that picture. It was just unforgettable. The baby with only stumps for arms. The Tuskegee syphilis experiments on black men, letting them go untreated to the end stage ravages. And I would interject there, including insanity in some of them. Back to my essay, but the blood money buck stops with an evil grown so bloated that it wants to annihilate not 6 million hapless Jews, but billions of the world's population. Where does this gloating face of murder originate? Some say Bill Gates. Others cry Pope Francis with the Great Reset. The EU itself, along with Klaus Schwab. World Economic Forum head is suspect. Archbishop Carlo Vigano reveals 3 EU projects planned on graphene oxide. Dr. Arianna Love on the Stu Peters Show Monday, December 6, 2021, adds the missing America self-incriminatory puzzle piece. Why? Who would have thunk? It's DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that developed the hydrogels patented by Moderna in patent number 8415325B2. Again, number 8415325B2. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech, announces Dr. Love, use these hydrogels. Yes, Love reports that at least 7 groups, including the University of Almeria, used methods such as optical and electron microscopy, as well as dark field spectroscopy and chemical analysis to determine the presence of graphene oxide and graphene hydroxide in the COVID vaccines, as well as authenticating a wireless nanotech sensor. hydrogels are made from graphene oxide. Quantum data are also referred to in the Moderna patent. These are all made from graphene oxide. And there is a horrific new fact to alarm the newly injected COVID vax slave that we at the Divided Kingdom have called the Tin Man. According to Dr. Andrew Nowak, commenting on the graphene oxide, this is like razor blades cutting people up. Dr. Love reported that 100% of the patents mention gene editing. All but one of them refers to gene editing using synthetic DNA, also called complementary DNA. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2013 that cDNA can be patented. And again, that is this complementary DNA, this synthetic DNA. God-given human DNA cannot be patented. The U.S. Supreme Court also wrote that the scientists had added four plasmids to bacteria. Love found E. coli listed in most of the patents. See my earlier essay, More Things That Lie in Wait, November Emergency Alert 2, Ebola Marburg Plandemic Coming, posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, this is under Breaking News. These modified bacteria cannot be killed by antibiotics. In Dr. Ariana's words, they're snapping your DNA in half. A combo PCR COVID test using hydrogels also mentioned gene deletion. Now, we have to interrupt this essay to point out several hard facts here. First of all, we had Dr. Andrew Nowak commenting on the inclusion, you see, of graphene oxide in the vaccines, that this is like razor blades cutting people up, these little pieces of metal, you see. And then we have this next big one, that besides snapping your DNA in half and putting these things in there, the plasmids with the bacteria that can't be killed, we also have, you see, those poor hapless people who are going to get the PCR test, some of them, using hydrogels, mentioned gene deletion. Now, we've heard before that these very long-pronged ones go up and break the blood-brain barrier. So whatever they're carrying or doing, you see, it can go right into your bloodstream, and it can harm your brain. So here we have this newest information. A combo PCR COVID test using hydrogels also mentioned gene deletion. This was in addition to the Pfizer COVID vax patent naming 30 gene deletions. Lou Caverly, isn't this horrifying? In other words, it isn't enough to be actively working to change God's DNA with these clot shots, but even some of the PCR tests are trying to ruin the body that God created by deleting genes. Aren't you horrified?
This is horrifying. It when you start changing the DNA, you're changing not only the present human being, but descendants in the future, if you can have any.
That's right. We've heard this. And we do go back to Genesis 6, what's going on now. And so now, back to this information from Dr. Ariana Love. Interchanging XY chromosomes can cause sterility. And that's exactly what you said, Lou, there. In other words, they were changing one into the other.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it, as we said a few minutes ago, that's going to change your children, not just you, your children, your grandchildren, on and on, as long as you can have them, which is not at all sure at this point.
No, it isn't at all sure. Another study found the 6970 gene deletions causes a variant that is significantly more transmissible. Omicron, anyone? Pfizer mentions gene number 144. This deletion causes rapid cancer growth. Dr. Anthony Fauci, that all-around Luciferian Renaissance man, owns the patent on the HIV that is in Moderna and J&J bioweapons. The lentivirus is in Moderna and J&J. Other harmful COVID vaccine ingredients include bromide, Pfizer and Moderna. Pfizer mentions use of propane. Bromide, explains Love, is a corrosive that causes severe eye damage. And, quote, propane is an ingredient that is poisonous when inhaled, is flammable, and can be lethal. It will displace the oxygen in your lungs, making it hard to breathe. And now we're injecting it into our kids. Dr. Arianna Love tells Stu Peters that things will change when people in America begin filing lawsuits and notices of liability against persons and institutions pressuring them to get the vax in counties and towns throughout the U.S. Later, when millions around the world wake up, their rage will bring the new Nuremberg trials nearer. Maybe that's why Dr. Francis Collins jumped ship and resigned from NIH. Yet he was still out visiting churches, urging on the COVID vaccinations as late as July 23, 2021. In a Baptist News Global interview, he said, "Give God the glory, but roll up your sleeve." This writer has just been greatly saddened to learn that someone close to us has finally succumbed to the brainwashing of getting the clot shots. Indeed, the spell American Babylon is under is due, no doubt, to its unrepentant national sin of murdering babies. And we have to reflect on that a minute. These babies that are in the womb, and in addition, the national legislating of anti-biblical, quote, marriage. Read Isaiah 29:10-16. "For the Lord hath poured out upon you this spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? It is your duty, as well as mine, to pray, to speak out, to repent, and serve the Almighty God, who gave up his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might live.
But death, not life, is in the vaccine injury statistics. From Children's Health Defense, we have this headline: 5-year-old died 4 days after Pfizer shot. CDC VAERS data show. And here are some of the statistics mentioned, excluding foreign reports to VAERS. 672,373 adverse events, including 8,986 deaths and 57,143 serious injuries, were reported in the U.S. between December 14, 2020 and November 26, 2021. Of those 8,986 U.S. deaths reported as of November 26, 20% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination, 26% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination, and 61% occurred on people who experienced an onset of symptoms within 48 hours of being vaccinated. In the U.S., 454 million COVID vaccine doses had been administered as of November 24th. This includes 264 million doses of Pfizer, 173 million doses of Moderna, and 16 million doses of Johnson & Johnson, J&J. U.S. VAERS data from December 14, 2020 to November 26, 2021 for the 5 to 11-year-olds show this: 2,586 adverse events, including 34 rated as serious and 2 reported deaths. One death occurred in an 11-year-old girl from Georgia, vaccinated September 14th, prior to the authorization of Pfizer's COVID vaccine in the 5 to 11 age group. The second death, VAERS ID number 189-0705, occurred in a 5-year-old girl who died 4 days after receiving her first dose of Pfizer. 1,581 adverse events have been reported in the 5 to 11 age group since November 1st.
And listeners, if you value this kind of information and you have a heartfelt desire to stand up for Jesus Christ and for Almighty God, this is the time you were born to do this. And you are a great benefit to us to stay on air. We are looking again at January. We need about $400 for the total $600 cost at WWCR and Global Star Communications. So any of you who can help us before the end of December, you can write your checks, not to us, we can't take personal checks, but you can write a check to WWCR, and you can just make it out for the Divided Kingdom, if you want to put that on there. Or you could write a check to Global Star Communications. And it will help us greatly to put this message out. You know, Lou and I never thought we would get to this point. And it's only by the grace of God. Actually, many years ago, I would look at Time and Newsweek, and I couldn't really absorb it very much. And I was always a hard worker in school. In fact, a mother of a child I tutored one time, she said, "Elizabeth, do you think you are an overachiever?" And I had to think about that. In other words, was I working harder than my innate brain structure had given me? In other words, was I working past what I had been given? I had to think about that. But the truth is, over the last 18 years, in learning about the New World Order and forming a program here for listeners, something happened. You know, my brain matured so that I could really comprehend a great deal more and analyze a great deal more, and I think that's true of you, Lou.
Oh, yes, it is. I can do a great deal more now than I could have several years back.
And so now when we surf around on the Internet and we look at writings and we listen to podcasts, we are shocked by the idea that many of them are either telling lies, like the mainstream dead church lies. And look at Franklin Graham now with myocarditis, after advising all his devotees to take the shots, the clot shots. So there are a lot of false shepherds. Then there are other people who mean well in the libertarian community, and they're doing a lot of good work, but they're mixing in New Age theology all the time. And so, you see, we're trying to be vigilant and bring you the truth according to God's Bible. And so if you can help us, we never ask you to give us money if it will cheat your family. And so if you can stick a little bit of cash in an envelope, you know, if 10 people gave $20, there, that's about half of what we need. So anything that you can do for us will be wonderful. And if you can't do anything, just prayers and maybe little notes of encouragement. But you can send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we do thank two or three of you who have helped us greatly for December. And now we're moving on to this very important information about God's little ones. There was a little, oops, we're so sorry, mistake, I guess, in Prince George's County. Prince George's County is a county that I'm very familiar with. Decades ago, I taught there as a reading specialist, and my nice little job was cut, and I had to then base myself in a school in the Landover neighborhood. This was in the heart of the poor black area, and as I went to my interview, I walked up the schoolyard and to the sidewalk, and there were broken beer bottles. It just looked so depressing. I'd had a nicer job in which I was a clinician, and I could drive around, and I could test children and meet with principals in different schools and write up the reports. It was a nice, easy cake job. Now I was going to be put right into this situation. Well, at the time I was put there, there were some other liberal, in a good sense, white people and black people. But what we found was those poor little black kids had never seen chocolate milk. They never had seen a new textbook, any textbook that was younger than about 40 years out of date. So a lot of things happened there, I think, that formed my character. It was a lot better for me to work hard and to see what these people had experienced. And I met some wonderful white and African-American leaders during that time. And I wrote a letter about busing and sent it to the Washington Post. And William Raspberry, the columnist, published it. Because I looked at two of my students, Michael and the other girl, I think was Kathy. And Kathy was white, and she looked at Michael, and she said, I never knew how your people suffered, and she wept. And I realized that it wasn't perfect, and it didn't last forever. The areas are, again, segregated, but it was a start to true fellowship between the two races, the white and black. And so much today is just being fomented by Marxist groups. They really don't care about the black people. So I'm well acquainted with this neighborhood. And remember, this is the neighborhood that decades ago the children were not given any new textbooks. They were not given chocolate milk. But they are given expired COVID vaccines. Children's Health Defense, 70 children given expired COVID vaccines in Maryland, plus more. NBC4 Washington reported, medical workers in Prince George's County, Maryland, gave dozens of children ages 5 to 11 expired COVID-19 vaccines after they were mistakenly stored in the refrigerator with usable doses, the county health department says. A provider that wasn't able to use 300 pediatric Pfizer doses before they expired on November 24th transferred the doses to the clinic at the complex. Healthcare Dynamics International administered all but 70 of the doses before that expiration date, but mistakenly stored the rest in the refrigerator with viable vaccines, the county health department said. Well, things are a lot more serious than that little oops. We're so sorry. God really wants us to stand up for the truth, no holds barred. And I'm a human being, and I'm a woman who has an autoimmune disease, and I am a person who naturally thinks about things when I hear about Steve Quayle's attempted assassination. So my first impulse, I'm going to admit, we are all sinners, and I'm no exception. My first impulse was, let others tell all about this. I don't think that I'm going to bring out all this stuff from Dr. Arianna Love. The next day, I awoke ashamed of myself because I wasn't trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will determine when I am taken from earth, not the New World Order. And I had said to Lou, we're not going to do this right now. They might take away our website. They might do this. They might do that. So he just was looking at me that day. The next day I said, I'm so ashamed of myself. And I sat down and I began to write my essay. And I wrote it all in one sitting there. And I know that it was one of my better essays because my entire repentance and heart were in it. They were, weren't they, Lou?
That's exactly right. They sure were.
And you made a comment that strengthened me. After all, you're the leader of the home. You said that we can't compromise. We must stand up for the Lord and the truth.
That's exactly right. We sure must.
And so now, here's more of it. Dr. Jane Ruby, she's such a wonderful advocate for these dear little children, the 5 to 11-year-olds. So Tuesday, December 7th, on the Stu Peters Show, she revealed some of what's really happening to these 5 to 11-year-olds. And Stu Peters said these are children too young to make an informed choice, and that's absolutely true. So we had, on October 29th, the FDA approving BioNTech and Pfizer for the 5 to 11-year-olds. So we first had an 11-year-old who collapsed after the shot, and there was an alert that went out that seems to be kind of a veiled alert about allergies. But the fact that there was a loss of consciousness, see, makes Dr. Jane Ruby realize it was far more than allergies. Next, we had an 8-year-old. This was November 23rd in Massachusetts, unresponsive. Fell off the chair twice, and now unresponsive again. Seems to tell us there was an unconscious state. November 23rd, a 9-year-old girl in California had a seizure and a headache following the COVID clot shot. October 30th to November 1st, there was the unforgettable report, and we saw the picture, didn't we, Lou?
Yes, we did.
The little boy, this dear little child, this 8-year-old male in Wyoming got BioNTech. Well, it wasn't long till he was taken to the ICU, and he had myocarditis. Within days, this occurred, myocarditis. And it was more than that, I think. It was a heart attack also. And so the social media pictures were put out on the parents' website, and it showed him he was having his first meal in 4 days after coming out of the coma. Did you hear that? After coming out of the coma. And so now you heard me in my essay at the end. Now, I'm going to have to confess something. When I was being chicken-hearted, I went to the Lord and I said, do you really want me to write this essay? And if you do, would you show me something in Scripture? This is what he showed me, those verses that I read to you about how God was going to do this strange and wonderful thing, put this spell on people that they wouldn't be able to know the truth. That was it. And there were other encouragements to me. I knew that I was supposed to write this. But the fact that this country, this evil country, American Babylon, is under this spell, I think is shown very clearly by the reaction of this dear little child, this 8-year-old with the heart attack, being in the coma, with the myocarditis. His mother went on record to say that, I'm so glad he's vaccinated with all these sick people around. Can you imagine? Where's the sanity? Because we have left Jesus Christ in this country, nobody has any roots to anything but absurdity, meaninglessness, brutality, murderous spirit from Satan. So Jane Ruby said, as a heart nurse, she's a cardiac nurse, she said that this was so rare in children to have this heart attack and myocarditis that it was criminal, actually criminal, to call it I'm trying. This is an important word, and I can't tell what this is. I think that they called it sort of like, I know what it was now. It was a mini heart attack. I don't know whether the mother said this or whether the newscasters from the assorted MSM were calling it this, but they were calling it a mini heart attack. And she said, first of all, no heart attack is a minor thing, because with any heart attack, the heart is scarred, and it's forever changed. This is a permanent oxygen deprivation. And then the heart has to even sometimes adjust its rhythm because of this scarring. And so soon, we think, she thinks, from what she can see in documents, that what is on the horizon, it's just unbelievable, Lou, that they're getting ready to approve the injections for ages 2 to 4. What's your reaction to this as a former teacher?
Well, my reaction is this is insanity. This is injecting with a dangerous drug, vaccine, whatever you want to call it. It's not really a vaccine.
So you're gene injecting deletion, children. Gene deletion.
That's it, yes.
Razor blade cutting.
Yep, all of the above. And you're doing it to children who probably don't have the slightest worries about getting the coronavirus.
Yes, and Jane said that this child, this little 8-year-old boy, will not live a normal lifespan in all likelihood, because she knows she's seen adults with cardiac trouble. She said you can't have this kind of heart damage, and that the spike protein has an affinity for the cardiac tissue. And she said likely he'll be an invalid, in and out of the hospital the rest of his days. And then we had naturalnews.com, the headline, December 7th, 8-year-old girl suffers stroke and brain hemorrhage after getting Pfizer's COVID vaccine. I think this was 7 days after. This girl was named Harper, and she got the Pfizer shot November 24th, and she was rushed to the ICU. Her uncle, Barry Gewin, it's spelled capital G-E-W-I-N, from Pennsylvania, wrote about her situation on his personal Facebook account and kept people updated. It could be, you see, like all families, that he was opposed to her getting this, but maybe her family was under this spell. Dozens of other nations all over the world either have started vaccinating children 5 to 11 or have committed to begin the mass vaccination program for them soon. Justin Trudeau took his 7-year-old Hadrian to a vaccine clinic December 3rd. All 28 member nations in the EU have committed to vaccinating the 5 to 11-year-olds. Italy and France have already begun. Australia, Pfizer is approved for 5 to 11. And the Minister of Health there, Greg Hunt, claims that the rollout could begin as early as January 10th. There are about 2.3 million Australian children who will soon qualify for the experimental and deadly vaccines. So we ask your prayers for God to foil this incredible evil that we can never comprehend happening here in America and over the world. Only about, what, how many years, 75 since the Holocaust?
Roughly speaking, yes.
We never dreamed it could be like this. And now at the same time, we have COVID hospitalizations surge across U.S., even in most vaccinated states. Newsweek reported, new COVID hospitalizations are surging across the United States, even in the most vaccinated states. A day after the president promised that there would be no lockdowns or expanded vaccine mandates planned for the winter break to contain infections. Vermont, the country's most vaccinated state, which is 73% fully vaccinated, has seen its average daily hospitalizations climb by 32% over the last 2 weeks. That figure is now 75 new hospital admissions a day, the data indicates. Rhode Island, which is also 73% vaccinated, has seen average daily hospital admissions increase by 55% over the last 14 days. The number now stands at 152.
Now, moving from COVID, we now scrutinize the Great Reset shockeroo. The headline from the Gateway Pundit.
There's more than one. There are many shockeroos.
Oh, yes, that's right. This one is from the Gateway Pundit, Joe Biden to meet with Commie Pope in Rome and push globalist minimum tax, by Jim Hoft. This appeared on the Gateway Pundit website October 18, 2021. Joe Biden will meet with Pope Francis in Rome at the end of the month to promote a globalist socialist tax on the people. Joe Biden and Pope Francis both endorsed the COVID vaccines that were developed using aborted fetal tissue. The Biden regime is pushing a plan to force foreign countries to tax their plebes at a minimum rate. This will only increase over time, Reuters reported. And this is from Reuters. President Joe Biden will meet with Pope Francis on October 29th before attending a two-day summit of G20 leaders in Rome, where he hopes to reach agreement on a global minimum tax of 15%, White House officials said on Thursday. On the second foreign trip of his presidency, Biden will then attend the UN climate conference, known as COP26, in Glasgow, Scotland, from November 1st to 2nd, and announce, quote, key actions, unquote, on the conference's top themes, including goals for fighting climate change and forest and land use, one White House official told Reuters. Biden's visit with the Pope comes as some Roman Catholic bishops in the United States have sought to admonish Biden for his support of abortion rights. Biden is a Catholic who attends church regularly. His wife, Jill Biden, will also attend the meeting with Pope Francis. They will discuss, and this is from a quote from Jen Psaki, White House spokesperson, quote, they will discuss working together on efforts grounded in respect for fundamental human dignity, including ending the COVID-19 pandemic, tackling the climate crisis, and caring for the poor, unquote. And let me interject, this is Lou again. On our December 2nd program, we had planned to get into the Great Reset and Pope Francis's role in it. But COVID vaccine news edged it out. Until we can address the Great Reset in more depth, we have at least to note that this unusual alliance between Pope Francis, the Vatican, and the Rothschilds.
And yes, this info came to us from Brother Bruce of American Prophecy.
As inflation surges and the world's financial order is teetering, it is vital to see who plans to hold your purse strings by Agenda 2030. And now those quotes pertaining to the Rothschilds and others. The headline was Dangerous Alliance of Rothschild and Vatican of Francis. Holy moly, the most globalist and interventionist pope since the Crusades of the 12th century has formalized an alliance with the largest figure in global finance, led by none other than that noble banking family, Rothschild. The new alliance is a joint venture they call Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican. The venture is one of the more cynical and, given the actors, most dangerous frauds being promoted since Davos, WEF guru, and Henry Kissinger, make that Henry Kissinger protege, Klaus Schwab, since he began to promote the Great Reset of the world capitalist order. What is behind this so-called Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican? On their website, they proclaim in a typical UN doublespeak, quote, the Council for Inclusive Capitalism is a movement of the world's business and public sector leaders who are working to build a more inclusive, sustainable, and trusted economic system that addresses the needs of our people and the planet, unquote. A more sustainable, trusted economic system? Doesn't that sound like the infamous UN Agenda 21? And its Agenda 2030 daughter, the Globalist Master Plan? They then claim, quote, inclusive capitalism is fundamentally about creating long-term value for all stakeholders, businesses, investors, employees, customers, governments, and communities.
Well, you know, there is always something we can do, Lou. First, repentance individually and prayer to God, who in his patience and mercy may yet hold back the one world order timetable. And here are a few tips. First, Cash Friday, and then a few survival tips. You know, at a time when we see even lowly retailer Dollar General raising prices and changing ratios, we'd better see the handwriting on the wall. Are we becoming Venezuela? And here was an article from World Net Daily, October 1st. Almost 77% of Venezuelans now live in extreme poverty. Daily Wire. A new study reveals that 76.6% of Venezuelans now live in extreme poverty, rising nearly 10% in a single year. In 2020, the National Survey of Living Conditions, completed by researchers at Andres Bello Catholic University, had found that 67.7% of Venezuelan residents lived in extreme poverty, when income alone is considered 94.5% of the population lives in poverty. It is the absence of opportunities, Andres Bello Catholic University sociologist Pedro Luis España told Reuters. It is sitting in front of the door of the house, doing nothing. Not because you do not want to do anything, but because there is nowhere to do it. And now we go to Cash Friday. This is from Children's Health Defense. How to Fight Big Banks' Plan to Digitize the Global Economy by Children's Health Defense Team. In a new episode of the Corbett Report with James Corbett, Catherine Austin Fitz of the Solari Report discussed the Going Direct Reset, which she said is a sinister plan by central bankers to commit disaster capitalism and re-engineer the financial system. Fitz said one way to fight back is to participate in Cash Friday. The Going Direct Reset was put in motion in August 2019 at an event referred to as the G7 of Finance. The yearly meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, is attended by the world's top central bankers, economists, and representatives of the Federal Reserve. Fitz wrote in the Solari report, "The Going Direct Reset is about the re-engineering of our financial system. The U.S. dollar reserve currency system is aging, and plans are underway for a new global financial system aimed at increasing centralized global control through the use of digital technology and telecommunications and the end of liquid currencies as we know them." Corbett called it the single largest wealth transfer in history. Fitz said the initiative aims to control 100% of the economy, including how and where you spend your money. "The amount of the economy that's been controlled by the central bankers has been growing," said Fitz, "but now what they're doing is part of a creeping financial coup d'etat."
Fitz pointed to an October 2020 video in which Augustin Carstens, general manager of the Bank of International Settlements, discussed how a U.S. central bank digital currency, CBDC, or a digital dollar, would allow banksters to track all financial transactions. Constance said, quote, "In cash, we don't know who is using a $100 bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And we will also have the technology to enforce that," unquote. "They want to end currency," said Fitz, "and move to a system in which all transactions are digitized, tracked, and controlled." Fitz said, "When you use cash now, you can't see where it goes. But when you use CBDC, we'll be able to see everything. It's not a currency system. It's a control system. They will have complete control. If they don't want you to buy a pizza, you can't buy a pizza. If they don't want you traveling more than 5 miles from your home, your credit card will not work more than 5 miles from your home. Use cash whenever you can, but especially on Fridays." The good news, said Fitz, is that there's something we can do to fight back. Use cash, especially on Fridays. The Solari report said, quote, "In American culture, we have a lot of Friday events. Summer Fridays, half-day Fridays, dress-down Fridays. When Mary Holland from Children's Health Defense suggested Cash Fridays, it made perfect sense to Catherine," unquote. "In order to have a fully digital financial system that's controlled," said Fitz, "the use of paper currency has to end. The pandemic was designed to increase digital transactions," said Fitz. Quote, "This is part of shutting down the mainstream economy and forcing everybody into the publicly traded corporations," unquote. Despite the push to go digital, Fitz said people are still using a, quote, "fair amount of cash," unquote. Cash Friday is a way to fight the takeover of the financial system. Use cash whenever you can, and on Fridays, use only cash that fits. Keep it going for as long as it takes. She said when they are depending on us to implement a new digitized monetary system, or they are depending upon us to implement such a system, said Fitz, and we have the choice not to implement it.
Yes, so important. We have so much breaking news that some of the survival tips about food, we're going to hold them back. What is the title of your number eight, Lou?
It says, let's see, number eight, I have a six and I have an eight.
Eight.
Eight, okay. Australia's mass death camps.
I think we're going to have to get to that, and we're going to hold back. I'll just give you this briefly. Germany is trying to go dark by shutting down all nuclear power plants, leaving only unreliable wind and solar. So can't we see in this wintertime how that will work out? They're everything for the Great Reset, but the hardcore tyranny is taking off, and we must give you some of this now. All right, Lou?
Once again, the headline begins, Australia's mass death camps and manhunts for quarantine prison escapees are showing the world the globalist tyrannical hand. Most Americans have no idea of how many and how large the demonstrations and even riots are in lands not of our own. Those who are supposed to be letting us know of those actions by others simply disregard it, all because they do not want to encourage our angered masses to do the same, and even more. The trend seems to be changing a wee bit in the last few days as some major U.S. outlets like CNBC have shown violent European protests, while more conservative outlets have for some time now that has been showing them. Even Australia is showing many of those European riots in Belgium, Holland, Italy, and so on, allowing too much knowledge out about the rest of the world's rebelling would upset their plans of total control, just as we see in so many other nations, and maybe that is what is helping fuel the riots in Australia. Rebellion is contagious. Millions marched in Melbourne, Australia, against vaccine mandates, as shown in this Twitter clip. And it gives a long Twitter address, which I won't give now, but you can get that if you go to this website. By the way, this was from Natural News by the news editors. Add those that showed up in Canberra and Sydney, Gold Coast, and other Australian cities and provinces means we are easily in the millions in just Australia alone. Germany, Ireland, France, Austria, Greece, Belgium, Italy, and more in Europe also protest the forced vaccinations and harsh curbs on their freedoms. Not to be outdone, India and other Asian nations also have had their share of protests against these tyrannical governmental mandates. Even in China, there have been mass protests, although the CCP crackdowns have made it very dangerous to do, considering the ever-present surveillance cameras and tracking systems in place, along with social media and facial recognition virtually everywhere. Note that they are putting those same systems in place here, with the help of high-tech and ownership of so many American politicians. Did I say Biden out loud? These have been going on since the early part of this year, as shown in so many stories from news sources outside of the USA, and strangely enough, including our own worldwide propaganda outlet, The Voice of America. Forced vaccinations, or as they are called, voluntary vaccinations, are pushed to the extreme in so many areas of this world that they even imprison whole populations and refuse to let them out without getting the murder shot, as exemplified by the recent stories of Aborigines being forced into concentration camps and forcefully injected, including children. They went so far as to have a manhunt for three Aboriginal teenagers that managed to escape the quarantine prison for a short while. As reported in the UK Daily Exposé, quote, a group of Indigenous Australians made a plea for international help due to the Northern Territory government force vaccinating the people in the community. According to their representative, David, the government was, quote, using the military, foreign police officers, local military, and local police officers to pressure our people into taking this bioweapon, unquote.
And is that it, Lou?
That's it for that.
Okay. I have a little bit more, I think, on the brave Australian teenagers captured by police and forced into quarantine camp escape. December 5th, this is naturalnews.com. Ethan Huff. Three indigenous teenagers from the Northern Territory of Australia who were forced into quarantine by the government escaped. New reports indicate the 15, 16, and 17-year-old children all tested negative for the Wuhan coronavirus, but were still being housed at Darwin's Howard Springs facility as part of a roundup operation of natives. All three of the teenagers were from Binjari, a community near Catherine, where indigenous people are being targeted and hauled off to Camp COVID for cleansing from Chinese germs. Because the, quote, close contacts of these individuals had supposedly tested, quote, positive for the Fauci flu, they too were taken away by the state Gestapo to be purified of the, quote, virus. NT Police Commissioner Jamie Chalker said that officers found the trio on the edge of Palmerston, where they were arrested after being chased down on foot. The three are still being interviewed, but early indications suggest that they did not have any contact with other members of the public, because that would be scary, according to the branch COVIDians. The health risk to the community was very low, so that does give cause for comfort, announced NT Chief Minister Michael Gunner. But there is absolutely no excuse for the actions of these three this morning. Wait, are these recovery facilities or prisons? According to the government, all this forced relocating is necessary because of an alleged outbreak that is said to be occurring in the Catherine region. Several fully vaccinated travelers supposedly tested positive for the new Omicron variant, so everyone is in a tizzy. This is the first time we've had to use a center for large numbers of people from an Aboriginal community, but it probably won't be the last time, Gunner explained. So that's the warning, and there's a little more. We just can't be here with our eyes shut. No, we have de Blasio in New York, and so now here's this mandate to be in public life. People in New York have to be vaccinated. The mandate is for all private sector workers, and of course the state of New York itself, not the city, requires the vaccination record. You have to show the passport to get into restaurants, entertainment venues, and gyms. Italy is requiring the green pass. In Canada, we have from the Westphalian Times the report that in New Brunswick, there is the power to ban the unvaccinated from grocery stores. Are you listening out there? Do you sense the drums of danger coming closer to your home, your hometown, and your gates? The EU, of course, is trying to abolish the Nuremberg codes so that they can keep pushing these vaccines. That's significant, isn't it?
Yes, the Nuremberg Codes were written as a result of what came out in the Nuremberg trials about the doctors in Nazi Germany, all the terrible experiments they did on people without their consent, of course.
So now, if that's all ripped out of being, there are no, what do we want to say, no holds.
Yeah,
There is no, it's lawlessness time worldwide. And yet, at the same time, all these people, these children are getting sick. Some of them will die. What about the quick article you have about the athletes? We'll pick this up more next week, but give us that short tally there about the athletes dying.
Exactly. This is coming from, our shorter version. We have two versions. This one is Natural News by Ethan Huff. The Killing Fields is the title. Dozens of athletes now confirmed to have dropped dead from COVID vaccines. Again, that word vaccines is in quotes because it's not really a vaccine at all. Mark Plain from Not in the Ben, Ben or Bean, I'm not sure how you want that pronounced, is keeping a running list of professional sports players who develop sudden health issues, including death, almost immediately after getting injected for the Fauci flu. Here are some examples. Lexi Riggles, a college basketball player who, quote, died unexpectedly, unquote, back in October. Tom Greenway, a champion jockey who died in early November. Nelson Solano, a Spanish footballer who died of a heart attack in early November. Sean Roden, a bodybuilder and former Mr. Olympia, who died of an apparent heart attack in early November. Layla DaCosta, a Miss World contestant from Italy, who was found dead at her house after failing to show up for work. George the Bull Peterson III, who was found dead in a Florida hotel room just 2 days before he was scheduled to compete in the Mr. Olympia contest. Jordan Tucker, a footballer who passed away unexpectedly during play. Avi Barat, a Saurashtra, that's a new one to me, a Saurashtra batter who died after suffering cardiac arrest. There are also many other instances of players falling to the ground during the play and having to be hospitalized. The following are said to be still alive despite their serious injuries. Here are a few. Emil Pálsson, an Icelandic midfielder who collapsed during a football game after suffering cardiac arrest. Luther Singh, a South African winger who had to be hospitalized after collapsing on the field. I believe that's soccer. Kyle Warren, a mountain bike racer who developed pericarditis, POTS, and reactive arthritis following his second Pfizer injection. Warner's doctor refused to admit the jab may have been the cause of all this, and instead blamed a, quote, psychotic episode, unquote.
Yes, a psychotic episode. That's what we're living in because we've all turned away from reverence to God. And his holy scriptures dictate to how we are to live in this world. And so if you would like to help us, continue to warn God's remnant and try to protect you. You can send any help you can to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And God is still on the throne. Yes, over 2,000 years ago when that little baby was born and the angels sang, Christmas, Christmas, the joy of Christmas can invade this hellacious darkness, this murderous intent of the New World Order. God will triumph. Good night.